Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we are so glad that you are with us today.
I want to tell you that I love being a part of Cowboy Church.
I do too, Russ.
Why do you like Cowboy Church?
I love the cards and letters and the emails that we get from people that say, I don't get to go to church.
Yeah.
I'm too far
right.
out. We have cattle to feed. I'm not really a believer, but I sure like that, you know?
You know the thing I like about it?
What?
Is I'm thinking about heaven someday, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to the age where I'm seeing the edge of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I just don't think it'd be heaven if we didn't have our kind of people there.
Right.
And I think that's what Cowboy Church is all about, is trying to challenge our people to make a commitment to live for God. That's why we have Cowboy Church. We need you right here on Cowboy Church on RFD. Don't go away. We're going to have a church service.
Here we come.
Welcome to Sycamore Creek Family Ranch. Sycamore Creek Family Ranch is a beautiful and serene 245-acre family getaway in the heart of the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri. Mike and Lisa Button, along with their incredible team, believe families are worth fighting for and are doing their best to provide wholesome activities and experiences that strengthen family bonds. In addition to seasonal festivals, barn dances, and more, Sycamore Creek Family Ranch is also a uniquely stunning stage for your wedding ceremony, reception, or private event. To book your next event, call Sycamore Creek Family Ranch at 417-593-9628 or visit our website at www.sycamorecreekfamilyranch.com.
This is a song that Paul Overstreet wrote a few years ago. That's my prayer in my life. You know, when we get our age, some of us, a little over the halfway mark, we want to make it count. Hungry for the good life all the days of my youth. I placed my plans and dreams before you. But now's the time to build again, and this time on your truth. Whatever you ask of me, I'll do. Won't you teach me, Lord, to seek your face, not just the works of your hand. In perfect submission, undertake the great commission you have planned. And though I wonders that your hands can do, first I must learn to follow you. Standing at another crossroad in my life, wondering how the plans have all gone wrong, I realized I was the maker of my own strife. And where did my priorities go wrong? Won't you teach me, Lord, to seek your face, not just the works of your hand. In perfect submission, undertake the great commission you have planned. And though I long to see the many wonders that your hands can do, first I must learn to follow you. And though I long to see the many wonders that your hands can do, first I must learn to Amen. How many of y'all are married? Got families. Married, families, keep them up, keep them up. How many of y'all can truthfully say that you got here this morning without any arguments or any strife? Wow. Give yourselves a big hand clap. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, this is a song that talks about marriage, and I don't know about y'all, but Sunday morning was always the big test for our family. If anything went wrong, it was on Sunday morning. It was like, I can't even get there. I don't even want to go at this rate. Wasn't it wonderful when you touched the doorknob on the church house, your whole disposition changed. You went from, I hate your guts, to, oh, everything's wonderful. Isn't God good? So this is a song that you can just let down and we'll be all right with all of it, right? Turn to your neighbor and say, you know she's absolutely right. Sometimes love's a blessing, and sometimes we get hurt. The good times couldn't be better, and the bad times couldn't get worse. And sometimes we gently whisper, and other times we scream and shout. But honey, when the smoke clears, we always seem to work things out. And we're closer than ever, safer in each other's arms. That's what you get for holding on. Now they say what doesn't break you will only make you strong. We learn whether we're right or wrong. What we've got is a tried and true emotional common bond. That's what you get for holding on. Man, it'd be a good time to reach around your wife and give her a big old snuggle up. Now sometimes I lean on you, and sometimes you lean on me. We share the good and bad. Jumping on the bed, and then there were always those times you'd get hurt right in the midst of it. You know what my mama used to say? Y'all know it. That's what you get. That's what you get. In southeastern Oklahoma, you don't say get, it's get. You hear? Come on. Well, they say what doesn't break you will only make you strong. We learn to count on each other, whether we're what we've got is a tried and true emotional common bond. That's what you get from holding on. Oh, that's what you get from holding on. That's what you get. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. If you sow that joy we were talking about a few minutes ago, you're going to reap that joy.
Hey, last year we had the privilege of filming Nail 32. It's a full-length feature movie about my dad and the principles that my dad lived by. One of the things that the movie challenges us to is discipleship. We've developed a 13-week foundational fundamentals for the long, long ride that will help you in your own personal discipleship. And the best part is as you reach out to other people, they will have something that you can put in their hand that will assist them with their own personal Bible study and the beginning of their walk with God. You can get the Bible study with the film for $14.99. The movie and the Bible study, it's a long, long ride, are available at the webpage you see below, or those of you who like to use the phone, I know, just call us. Give us a call and request Nail 32 with the Bible study guide and it'll be yours for $14.99. As my mom always said, together, we can change the world, one person at a time. May God bless you. So here's the deal. Talking about team roping, we use the team roping as an example because you have two people working together and you have two horses working with two people, and it's important that you work together to get a good run. You don't want to donate your money to somebody else. So you've got a guy called a header, a guy called a healer. Dale Woodard, when he held our team roping school here, said this. He called all the headers in. He says, guys, here's the deal. This is called team roping, not keep away. You need to be able to set the run up so your healer can catch. So with that in mind, what we're going to do, we're going to study a few things about teamwork. And if you'll go to that first slide, Dorothy, we'll set some things up for us. The foundation of all teamwork has to do with the very basic. It can't be a team unless it's at least two. I know I'm a master of simplicity and a master of the obvious, but there has to be at least two in order for there to be team or teamwork. And the most basic of teams and teamwork is God. It's God and us. That's the foundational team for everything we're going to be talking about this morning. There'll be more than just God and us, but the foundation team is God and us. And the Bible promises that I will be your God. That's an introduction to teamwork as a Christian. I'm just going to punch it here. There are some foundations that we need to understand that as we go through the Bible, this is where we're going to go. The very first item we're going to talk about in teamwork is Israel as a nation. The reason we're going to do that is the whole trip of Israel going across the desert is the study of that, is a study of typology of how that relates to us personally. The nation of Israel actually becomes us. It's a type of what happens to us. It's also a type of what can happen to our family. It's a type of what can happen in a church. It's a type, so it multiplies out to where it's a type of what it can be to any nation who honors God. But Israel is God's chosen people for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's the first nation that he used to set this up to make this work the way it works. So when we look at Israel and Israel's relationship with God, what we do is we're going to do a study of teamwork of how we should relate to God as a person, how we should relate to God as a family, how we should relate to God as a nation, and on and on it goes that way. We're going to use Exodus chapter 6 because Israel is an example. The second one is national. We're going to use Psalms 33:12. We'll come back to these in just a little while. This is all your introduction. Because as a nation, when a nation has a right partnership and teamwork with God, what it does, it brings blessings on the people who live in the nation. So a national connection and a national teamwork with God is the thing that brings blessings to the people who live in the nation. The next one is the church. The Bible says that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's Jesus speaking. And what he's talking about as a church is the aspect of evangelism, of training, and even fellowship that I don't have on the board. But evangelism, training, and fellowship in Matthew 16, 18 through 19. So foundational as a church, if a church is in teamwork with God, we'll go back and get these a little bit. We're moving through them pretty fast. As a church in team and in connection and teamwork and partnership with God, there are things that the church can do that nothing, no other entity can accomplish because God developed the church for a specific reason, and that's the evangelism and training and the fellowship aspect. The family. In Exodus 20 and Proverbs 22, the family and the partnership the family has with God. In other words, if the family will serve God, As Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If he will, if that family will serve God, if they'll have their devotions, if they'll pray with each other, if they'll honor God before they eat their meal, if they will honor God by being faithful to church and being faithful to each other, then there are certain things that the family develops in people that you can't get anywhere else. The family is the foundational tool that God uses when we work in teamwork with Him. And then the last one is personal. And the reason that we have personal is because that's where we all live. See, the freedom that God gives us when we become an LLC with God, a limited partnership. And what that limited partnership has to do with who God is and how we honor it, and then the connection that we enjoy with each other, and the business that we share, and how that affects us personally. And see, we learn how to do things with other people because we learn how God does with us. Let me just give you a short for instance. If a person never sins, never makes a mistake, never says a bad word, never trips, never falls, then mercy is probably not going to be something that he understands. We learn mercy by experiencing mercy. So individually, we learn to give mercy because God has given mercy to us in that he forgave our sins and allowed us back into fellowship with him, back into this partnership, back into this teamwork that he has for us. So that what we're really doing and what we're learning as a church together, we're learning that sometimes our failures happen because we just don't learn anything without failures. And if we didn't have failures, we probably wouldn't be people who learn. If we didn't have difficulties, we'd never be people. So as a person, we're talking about exactly where we live. Where we live. That's how we begin to process the whole thing is on a personal level. And then it moves all the way up the ladder to where we understand it on a national level. And our example for that then is Israel. So let's go to our first scripture. And we will pray and get into it. Now, I have my examples before the scripture so you see this, but we're going to pray, and then we're going to relate this to the scripture that we'll read. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you'd touch our message today. Lord, help it to be effective and strong. Lord, help us to learn teamwork. Lord, give us the ability to get along with each other. Lord, give us the strength that we need in order to be able to overcome the cares of the world and the things that would interrupt our partnership and our teamwork with you and what you have going on, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The example of all of this is Israel. They are the chosen one. There are two examples of the chosen one in the Bible. Number one is Israel, and the second one, of course, is Jesus. Israel is us. It's a prototype or a typology. It's a type of who we are. We're like Israel. We're not much like Jesus. But what we want to be is more like Jesus and less like Israel. Israel is the example. Israel is the first son of example. So the chosen one has to do with, how many of you have more than one kid? One child, I should say. If you have more than one child, what you most of you experience is that second child is different than the first one. And so there's a lot of dynamics that go with that. So one is you spend so much time on that first kid that you got him where you want him. By the time he's three, he understands ups and downs and how to do everything and what is expected of him the lay of the land. Yeah, Terry understands the lay of the land because you've spent some time working on him. Now the second one comes along and he doesn't understand the lay of the land, and it really irritates the first one. But the other thing he does is this, is you begin to use the first one as the locker room leadership. In other words, as he goes through, progresses through his life and goes through the different things he goes through, we basically, not in a child protective services way, but we basically torture the first one as an example so we don't have to be mean to the second one. And occasionally it works. And sometimes it doesn't. Then by the time the third one comes along, you realize what works and what doesn't work, and you don't spend a lot of time with stuff that's not essential. And the older one gets to be the one to enforce all the things that are important. It just kind of happens like that. So in our way of doing things, in this particular case, they had the first example for everybody relates to us because we are the church of the firstborn. And we are an example to the world. And we as a person, we get to be watched and looked at. And we are the older brother because we're now connected directly to the Father. And the next one that comes along, we get to help guide them. So what basically end up is we're the ones living in a glass house. And you understand the glass house effect. The thing I feel really bad about our new president, the thing that I think he underestimated was the effect of the glass house, that everybody can now see the stuff that they couldn't see before. And as a preacher's kids live in a glass house. I mean, not to the effect that the president does, but we're there. We understand what living in a glass house is all about. Well, it's not easy living in a glass house. But when you live in a glass house, the words my mom ring out to us, she said, you know, if you do the right thing, you don't have to worry about people watching. In fact, sometimes you like for them to watch because they learn how to do things too, if you do the right thing. You're the example before them. I can't tell you how many times my mom would tell me, Russ, you're the older son, you need to be the example. The older son is the example. Sometimes he's a bad example, but he's always the example because the younger one will follow his lead a lot more fast and efficiently than he will the advice of a parent who doesn't understand that they're a kid. True leaders don't create followers, they create other leaders. Let's go to the scripture now. Therefore, I say, this is Exodus 6:6-7 about Israel. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. When Israel left Egypt, it's a type of getting saved. I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. The bondage of sin is what they're talking about. And I will redeem you with outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. We become the Son of God. And I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The Egyptians represent everything that we live for and the way that we go about living it. And if you notice, what we're talking about is going from being saved, that's crossing the Red Sea, into the desert, that's a basic training, that's your round pin 101, and then going across the Jordan River into what God called you to do, doing what God called you to do, the way God called you to do it, and taking ownership of the land. That's the process we're working on. So walking into the promised land has its own difficulties, and the difficulties are you're not a child anymore. It's the grow-up factor. So you need to understand that all of that is what Israel represented, and that's what happens to our life.
Well, if you enjoy Cowboy Church, I want to ask you to do something. Get your checkbook out or go to the website and pledge to support Cowboy Church. We rely on your gifts. This doesn't come to me. It doesn't come to Russ. It comes to us making these shows weekly. We don't have big support. We don't have big sponsors. You don't see any big commercials on these shows. God has put us in a place where we rely upon the people who enjoy Cowboy Church. We love hearing from you. Thank you for your letters and thank you for your support. God bless you, and we'll see you next week on Cowboy Church.